This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
MyPillow, ladies and gentlemen, yes, MyPillow, the best pillow ever invented, and it was done by one heck of a nice guy, Mike Lindell, who has his plant now cranking out a lot more masks than pillows. A little bit of pillow production to keep up, mostly masks, giving those away for free and keeping his folks employed. That's fantastic. What we love about the guy, and right now, buy one, get one deals on about everything. The MyPillow towels in white, stone, mineral gray, ocean blue, or royal purple. They're great towels. I can speak as with experience as of just a few hours ago how great a towel they are. Hopping out of that shower. 5:30 this morning saying, yep, done. Dried off. Here we go. Let's go. Get on with the day. Okay? Same with the sheets. Same with the pillows. Click on the promo code Radio Listener Specials block, then promo code Scott, and it'll get you there at MyPillow.com or call 800-506-9028. 800-506-9028. I was waiting for Start Me Up, but I'll just do it without the music and tell you that North Dakota's reopening in 9 days, a countdown to the renaissance of North Dakota. There you go. And you know what? Little by little, with really smart folks helping guide the process, protecting those that are at risk, we can do this. We can do it well. Get those engines started. Governor Kristi Noem joins us from the great state of South Dakota this morning. We've had more South Dakota callers than the North Dakota callers today, so I think we're number one with a bullet in South Dakota right now. They want to hear their governor. See, they're pounding the table. Kristi. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to talk to you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to catch up with you again. When does South Dakota 2.0 start?
Well, what are you talking about, phase two?
I'm talking about just when you see sort of the grips of COVID in the rearview mirror, and you've been probably one of the freest states going forward, but I'm just saying to the point where you really can tell people just start getting back to normal here.
To be a little while yet, and the good thing is that we didn't lock everything down like so many other states did. People are still able to go to their businesses and get what they need and do their spring work, and we've asked them to practice social distancing and to be a little innovative in how they do that, but we still aren't supposed to hit our peak for infection rates or hospitalization rates till the middle of June, so luckily, we've been overperforming as a state. Our infection rates have been lower than we expected in the vast majority of the state, and we're doing good. So, you know, again, this is a virus, and we're still understanding the science behind it and what it'll do, but so far we're hanging in there.
So tell me a little bit about the Smithfield situation. How much of that, I know there were huge numbers there, obviously. How much of that swayed the numbers in South Dakota? If you remove those out of there, are you in a different situation as far as an overall concern?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's been impacting our numbers in a big way. So we've had a total of 858 positive COVID-19 cases in the state. 783 of those are Smithfield employees. Then outside of the employees, we have a couple hundred more cases that are tied directly to them. So the majority of our positive cases are from that hot spot we've seen at the facility. And, we've got less than 1,000 active cases in the state, and over two-thirds of them are tied to Smithfield. So, the most of the state's doing really well. Minnehaha and Lincoln County continue to be a concern, but we're aggressively testing there, too. So a lot of people look at our positive cases and compare it to other states around us and say, boy, they've got a lot more positive cases. But it's also because we're aggressively testing in that area where we know we need to, and so that's driving up our numbers as well. Some states have completely quit testing, the majority of their, because you can't, there's no therapeutic to treat somebody who tests positive, so they're not even testing them. They're just, you know, telling them to go home and isolate. So we're doing a little bit of a different approach, trying to be more proactive to get people home and isolated before they spread it to other individuals as well.
How much of this was at the hands of the operation of Smithfield, the plant? I mean, did they, were there best practices in place and it just happened like it did? Or was there some things that in retrospect we say must be done differently?
Well, it definitely started, you know, there. You know, there would be a case where an individual, you know, went there not feeling well. And because of the layout of a facility like this, they're in close contact working on the line, you know, doing different activities in the plant. And I'd say that's true for every, you know, manufacturing, processing plant and certainly meatpacking plant in the country, is just the general design and layout of the facility. So, you know, the spread started there, but it's been, boy, it was since Easter, it's been shut down, and we do know that some of that spread's been happening outside in the community since then as well, you know, and in the homes of these individuals. So we're trying to get in front of that, too, and communicate with all of them on what they can do at home to help protect their families as well. But, you know, they're putting in, they had done some things at Smithfield to protect their employees and had been pretty proactive. There's a few more things that they're probably going to do before the plant reopens to comply with some of the CDC recommendations, but this was a critical infrastructure business. Regardless of any direction given by me or even the federal government, it's been designated that this was an important facility to have operating for our nation's food supply. So regardless of a shelter in place or any direction given, it would have been operating because it is so important and the work they do is so important to our country.
What lessons learned are there for, you know, Daktronics or you know, U.S. Bank's call center or, you know, Case IH up here or any place? What I mean, going forward, 3 months, 6 months, what do we think they're going to need differently as a result of this? Is it a matter of waiting out the high, you know, infectious rate of this thing and where people have had it, or is there things that just need to be done differently in places like this going forward?
Well, businesses have to be proactive to go out there and spread people out and give them masks and protective equipment if they're going to be in close quarters with each other and really follow those hygiene recommendations by the CDC. But I would also say, you know, you guys might be tired of hearing me say it, but personal responsibility goes a long ways with this thing. I think in the case of Smithfield, there's some discussion out there that somebody went to work not feeling well for several days in a row. And that could be how this started. And so every single individual, if they have any kind of a symptom whatsoever, they should not be going into work and should not be in there exposing everybody else potentially to the virus. You need to make a decision that you're going to stay home, call your doctor, and get it figured out before you spread it to many other people that need to keep working. So, you know, it's a combination of things. It's a combination of business owners, which overwhelmingly in South Dakota have done the right thing and are taking temperatures and are you know, making sure they're following those CDC guidelines. But it comes down to the individual, too. You gotta be responsible if we really want to slow this down and protect our communities.
Are we going to get to a point where the population that is vulnerable? I asked Governor Burgum this the other day. I said, how many people do you think would be in that high-risk category in North Dakota? It's about 20% of the population, elderly or, you know, health conditions. So at what point do we flip from saying the 20% are where the focus needs to be? You know, in other words, you know, taking your own life in your hands if you go back to normal, but 80% can go back to normal. Are we getting closer to that?
Yeah, well, I would say that we are. We've already had that conversation here in South Dakota. Minnehaha and Lincoln County, I've already asked the vulnerable population to stay home for 3 weeks. So they're almost at the end of the second week of that. Because we had the high infection rates in those areas, I've told those that are over 65 and those that have some pre-existing health conditions to stay home and ask them to make sure that they were not going out unless it was absolutely critical, and ask other people to step up and help them run their errands and things. So, people here, we've been educating them about who is vulnerable and that if we need to do that in other areas of the state, people are already educated about what that means. So I do think you know, the people are getting frustrated, even in South Dakota, even though I didn't close a business. I've never done a shelter in place. I didn't. They're still already, I think they're, I'm sensing a little bit of tiredness of this change of life, and they're ready to get back to normal. And so I'm just really spending my time focusing on reminding them that we still need to do this for several weeks yet. And that I'll be as proactive as possible of letting them know when we can loosen up some of my recommendations. But right now, to protect those that are vulnerable, we need to be staying on this course. And if something changes, we may be able to let most people have some ease of those restrictions and really focus on those that might get and end up being hospitalized because of the virus. That really is what we're, our plan is built on, is who more than likely will end up in a hospital, and do we have the capacity to adequately take care of them? And that's why we've chosen the path that we've chosen.
More with Governor Kristi Noem in a moment. We'll talk about testing and some innovative things they're doing as well when we come back. Brought to you in part today by Oasis Petroleum and the Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo Hotline, 855-200-1776.
Walker from Blue Flint Ethanol Plant in Underwood. He's an electrical and instrument technician. A little bit about the question of ag and energy coming together. What do you think you're in? Which one?
I would think we're in both. I mean, we are, you know, providing a place for local farmers to bring their corn that they grow, and they can locally bring it to our facility. As we receive most of our corn from local farmers that truck their corn to the plant to sell. So definitely part of the ag industry in that respect, but the energy industry, you know, we're trying to, you know, create energy independence here, you know, North Dakota, so we can use the corn we grow here and create a fuel that we can use right here in, you know, in the state. And other places. So I'd say we're in both the energy and the ag industry.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's on your mind? The most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains, and we thank you for tuning in as always, and are thinking about everybody and want to help any way we can. Another of our town halls tonight, Congressman Kelly Armstrong, and the Energy Town Hall tonight from 8 until 9 on several stations that you're listening to right here, and a few more even. So get those questions or comments in ahead of time, and we'll look forward to that coming up tonight at 8 o'clock. Thanks, Senator Hovind, for his farm and ranch town hall last night. And, of course, we're going to be doing a lot more of these as we go. We're brought to you in part today by our friends at beautiful Tioga, North Dakota, right smack dab in the middle of the oil patch. You know that Tioga is the oil capital of North Dakota because that's where it all started, right there. That's where it all got going. And of course, they have a great community, Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, Pumpkin Fest, and so much more. Check out Tioga, different point of view, TiogaND.org, TiogaND.org. Okay, back with Governor Kristi Noem on What's on Your Mind Today. I want to talk a little bit about something I heard Dr. Oz talking about, and this is a major, major clinical trial partnership between Sanford and other health care entities in South Dakota. That is going to take a look at some therapies, because if we have a therapy, if we know something like malaria, I have it, what do? Oh, I take this, I don't have it anymore. Well, that's what we need for coronavirus, and you're working on effects, right?
Yeah, we really do need an option like that, especially for those that catching the virus would be a serious situation for them, or it could potentially be fatal. So that kind of a therapy drug would be monumental for them going forward and going back to a normal way of life. You know, we are conducting the first ever, and it really is unprecedented, statewide, state-backed clinical trial on hydroxychloroquine that Sanford Research is leading, but they're also partnering with Avira Health and Monument Health, which are the two major health systems in the state, to run this trial. So that's never happened in this country before, to have a state government partner with three major health systems to do a clinical trial that would be statewide. So we have the capacity to go up to and treat 100,000 people, which makes it expansive and should give us a lot more information on the effects of the drug, if it's better and beneficial, and it has some validity as a therapeutic going after COVID-19. So you know, Sanford is running several other clinical trials, but this one is got two different types of arm research areas to it that we're proud as a state to partner with them on.
I'm curious if a drug is used for something else. So in this case, that's a drug that is used for malaria, lupus too, I guess. Mm-hmm. And somebody has lupus, they take it. Obviously, there's side effects like there is to any drug, but we know it's safe, right, because it's already used. For these other people, why does it take such an extensive clinical trial to know whether or not it's quote-unquote safe when we already have it in the marketplace?
Well, we need to know if it's effective, if it really helps people deal with the complications that come when they contract COVID-19. So we don't know if it's an effective therapy for going after the complications from this virus. And then I think there are always side effects to different drugs. We've seen different types of news stories or different research, small studies that have indicated some complications. And so this type of a clinical trial is going to be completely volunteer in the state. So patients will talk with their doctors about if they want to participate or not, and step up and be a part of the trial and see if it does work with some of the consequences of the virus. But most people in the state have overwhelmingly been excited about having an opportunity to have an option. You know, we don't have any options today on really how we're treating people that, you know, can't breathe or on ventilators or know that they're going to end up in the ICU because they have some of those pre-existing health conditions like asthma or diabetes or have been getting treated for cancer. Those folks walk around every day extremely concerned that they would contract the virus because they know that the complications they'll see could potentially be fatal. So the opportunity to potentially have something that would help them heal and get better is exciting for them.
Texter says, tell the governor not to let Bill Gates help in any of the funding for hydroxychloroquine because it will fail. There's a great deal of skepticism out there about anything Bill Gates does just because this is sort of his world now with the foundation and pandemics. Has Gates been down there at all? Or?
No, he has not been. And some of the stuff I've been reading gives me some concerns, too. So I'll keep an eye on all that. But no, this is being led and directed by Sanford Research. And that's the one thing I think people need to realize is to get three healthcare systems to say, yes, absolutely, we want to be a part of this, That's a big deal. I don't think there's any other state in the nation that could have facilitated this kind of a clinical trial where three different health systems say, yes, let's do this together and let's partner with the state government to get it done statewide. So that's what I think is remarkable about this. Typically, you see one entity doing a clinical trial, not getting three major health systems to participate.
Avera is formerly McKenna, right? Or McKenna?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yep, it is. And they also have, you know, people that they serve, Nebraska, Iowa, some folks in Minnesota. So they've got a broad reach as well. And the Monument is tied to Mayo Clinic now in Minnesota too. They've got their affiliation and business models tied together and have all the assets that Mayo has. So they're very interested in how this clinical trial goes as well.
This is completely unimportant, but I was born at McKenna Hospital, just so you know. Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Well, yeah, look at that.
How about that?
Well, that's why it's so famous, because you made it famous.
So CDC Director Robert Redfield came out today and said he's worried next winter could be more of an assault, I think was the term he used, from COVID than this winter. I heard a study in South Korea, people that had it, coronavirus, were cured and then got it again. I mean, where are you at in that whole sort of evolving different points of view on the science here and on where we're at, what we know?
Well, I don't know for sure if we've proven that you can get it again. So that's something to just pay attention to and keep looking at what we learn about the virus. We do know it's a little bit of an unknown yet. We're still learning about it every day. But every virus has usually has two peak infection dates. You know, you have a wave of it, it dissipates, goes away, and it typically comes back again. So the fact that he announced that isn't shocking to me, because that is expected when you have a virus. The good news, and I think people need to continue to focus on hope and good news, is that by that time we'll have more options for therapeutics. We'll have potentially, if we can speed this up a little bit, some kind of a vaccine that may be available. I don't know if people want to participate in something like that, but we'll certainly know more and be able to address it more as well. So the fact that we've given ourselves some time here and learn more about it and how to respond to it has been extremely helpful in protecting people and saving lives.
Last question, about a half a minute for your answer. Which industry, which sector of your economy are you most worried about coming out of this?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to pick two. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Well, number one would be hospitality, the tourism industry. It's our second largest industry in South Dakota. We have a lot of people that visit us, and this virus hit right when they were gearing up for their season of busyness that pays their bills. We had restaurants, hotels that went from 100% bookings down to zero. So that is an absolutely devastated industry. The second one is going to be agriculture, just because they've gone on with five or six really, really tough years, and then to have this hitting their commodity prices and their meat prices and processing plants right now is just another blow to an industry that's already been through a war.
It is. It doesn't surprise me to hear you say that. Great to talk to you as always. Wishing you well. Best to your family and all of our friends in South Dakota. We'll talk again soon.
Scott, sure will. Have a good day.
Christy Noem, the governor of South Dakota. Senator Thune, when we come back.
The Chamber of Commerce, and we want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota, for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. Tioga's average yearly household income of over $73,000 a year supports nearly 140 area businesses. Tioga is a driver and innovator in local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, electronics, and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Tioga is an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Robot Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, and Pumpkin Festival. Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. We want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. If you're looking for great opportunities, please visit us in Tioga and experience a great point of view. Or for more information, visit TiogaND.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Constitution of the United States of America. And what do you think's happening now?
I think it's being stomped on.
That woman at a stay-at-home order protest in Ohio wants to see the economy reopened.
The cure is worse than the disease.
Some states, such as Georgia, have begun easing their stay-at-home orders and reopening the economy. But at the other end of the spectrum, in New York City, legislation's expected to be introduced today to shut down city streets to traffic during the lockdown. It would close 75 miles of streets in all five boroughs, allowing room for social distancing. President Trump will sign an executive order later today that he says will initiate a 60-day pause in immigration because of the pandemic, but would only apply to people seeking green cards to become permanent U.S. residents. This is USA Radio News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I don't know if you can, Kevin or Todd, if you can, but we've got several polls out here with a simple question on this smart restart test question. In other words, are we ready to get back at it and going? And the question we asked was, if a Trump rally were announced for June 1 at the Fargo Dome, would you go? And there are a few no's, but not many. That's as close to a landslide as I've ever seen, which is really interesting. It tells me people are just... they're ready to go. Because listeners here aren't reckless. They aren't, you know, hey, I'm going to go take... They just believe that this is something that's manageable. Texter says, have an outdoor rally for the president instead. Going inside will give the Democrats too much ammo.
Oh, good point.
Maybe why not do the state fair, promote the Air Force Base. It needs to be close to Minnesota because in all political reality, Minnesota is the one that obviously is part of the political, you know, hopes and wishes for the Trump campaign in 2020. So that's why we're trying to find a central location. But, you know, the president has talked about being there before, has expressed dismay that his team put him somewhere that was smaller last time. So it could happen. I'm just more curious how it ties to COVID and when we're ready to get back at it. So that's what we're up to there. We're brought to you in part today by our friends at Mineral Tracker. You know, the good folks up there really can help you keep an eye on the future to know exactly what you can expect will be coming in, and probably now more than ever, every penny matters. MineralTracker.com or call them at 833-842-2924. Jeff, Joel, the team at Mineral Tracker, standing by, ready to go. 833-842-2924. Senator John Thune is with us next on What's on Your Mind. Senator, nice to have you back. How are you?
Scott, good to be with you. Thank you, sir. Beautiful day in the Dakotas.
Yes, it is. You can smell spring, can't you? Kind of nice.
I can smell it from here.
Exactly. So I want to first start a little bit on the relief package, on the COVID stuff that you guys have been working on, and you obviously are working shoulder to shoulder with the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on these things. If I did some quick math and said, okay, from the time you guys spent the weekend crafting a plan that came up with that PPP and other relief packages, and then and really some creative stuff that's not even been reported on really out there of, you know, taking leverage from, you know, Federal Reserve funds and everything else to really smartly stabilize the economy. And then you take the day between when you tried for a voice vote, which you thought was agreed to for the second round of Paycheck Protection funding, till when it actually passed and hasn't even been signed yet. You've got probably at least a full 2 weeks, maybe more, on Chuck Schumer, on Nancy Pelosi, in delaying aid in the middle of a major, major disaster. Is that not fair?
I think that's entirely fair, Scott. There's no question. I mean, this was not necessary. This didn't need to happen. Obviously, there was we could have gotten all this done a lot sooner and helped a lot more people at a time when every day matters. I mean, you got people who are losing jobs by the day, people who are hitting the unemployment line by the day, and a lot of workers out there who, through the PPP program, could have gotten helped. And so here we are. 2 weeks later, it was a very simple fix. All you had to do was increase the funding authority in that program, and we would have been in a lot better place. And Senator McConnell tried to do that 2 weeks ago, and here we are 2 weeks later. Don't have it yet. We've got to get through the House and before we can get this to the president. But, you know, every time they have an opportunity, they try and leverage it. They try and hijack any process where they know the president or we're trying to get something done. Then they've got to add other things to it and try and get all kinds of things in there, which we generally are able to fend off. But a lot of their liberal agenda is usually a part of any effort they use to hijack one of these bills that's moving through. That should have been a fairly easy lift and something that everybody should have broadly supported.
So this round, this latest round, is replenishing something that was working, that was getting aid to people. It had to stop because the funds weren't there. They wanted more money for hospitals, I guess they said initially, right? I mean, that's what you ended up putting in there. Is the money that has been in previous relief packages been spent by hospitals already? Was there other needs that hadn't been met?
No. And that's the thing. I mean, by letting the funding in the PPP program lapse, they created additional and completely unnecessary uncertainty for the people who depend on that program, and it just didn't need to happen that way. You know, we could have approved the additional funding 2 weeks ago, kept PPP open, and continued to provide a lot of this much-needed assistance to Main Street businesses around the country, and then negotiated the other items. But as it was, PPP funding ran dry, the program shut down, SBA quit approving lenders, and struggling businesses could no longer apply. And we're in this situation again because the Democrats decided they wanted to do other things. And to your point, they were trying to leverage it to get another $150 billion for state and local governments, another $100 billion for hospitals, some things for another, some additional money for SNAP, all of which, you know, we're willing to talk about at the appropriate time. But to date, out of the current $100 billion that's been appropriated for hospitals, only $30 billion has gone out the door, and none of the money to state and local governments is in the mix yet because the Treasury Department hasn't issued the regulations yet. So, I mean, the Dems, they never miss an opportunity to spend more money on top of money, not knowing what the need is or what's working and what's not working. And that's exactly what happened again this time around. And all this delay was just entirely unnecessary. And again, it cost people all across this country, workers and businesses, a ton of lost time and perhaps their businesses if they didn't survive that 2 weeks.
So I've seen, them saying, I heard you on Hugh Hewitt earlier today talking about, responding to some of the things that Pelosi is saying about, trying to get this going again and blaming you guys. And Joe Biden is today saying, the president, this is all about, bluster now. Anything he does on Twitter, on immigration or anything else is all about trying to cover up the fact that he blew it and we're digging free of their mess. It feels a little unseemly to be, saying some of these things in the middle of this, but, it's a presidential year, so we're going to. Do you think that this is getting any traction for them? I mean, they sort of seem to be throwing mud against the wall to see what will stick, and nothing is really sticking. Do you agree?
I think that's right. I mean, I think that what they're trying to do is, and in this case, obviously, for stalling for 2 weeks here, they've got to shift the blame. And so, the president is their whipping boy for everything that out there that they don't like. But, I mean, with Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, they both have an AOC problem. They've got AOC breathing down their neck all the time. And so there's a lot of pressure to move out to the far left. And, we see that every time we have to negotiate with them on anything, whether it's this, which is a crisis, which should have been focused on the crisis. But, earlier on and then again this time around, they try and interject a lot of other issues in there. They'll want to deal with election reform. reform on this particular bill, or they want to do with requiring diversity on corporate boards. I mean, they have all this sort of left-wing propaganda, which I suppose they have to try and get done to satisfy the far-left base in their party in Congress, but also their liberal special interest groups who have high expectations. But the fact of the matter is, all that does is drag this out. And so, you know, to them right now, try and shift blame to the president for a missed 2 weeks here on the PPP program is nothing more and nothing less than politics. And obviously, you're right. They look at the election year coming up, and they're hoping that they have an opening here, and they're hoping that they can somehow, anything that happens bad in the economy, they'll blame the president for. I think that's what we're going to be looking at. I think people need to be prepared for that over the course of the next several weeks and months.
A question that came earlier for you had to do with the Smithfield plan and whether or not the president should use the Defense Protection Act. Can he, because they're Chinese-owned? Does he not, because they're Chinese-owned? Could they be used for things that are critical, even some of the $3 billion that is in the new USDA egg package to fill food banks?
Right, the question of Chinese ownership is an interesting one, and I'm not sure I know the answer to that when it comes to the DPA, but I do think that these are, you know, these plants are critical to the food supply, the food chain in this country. And, you know, some of the $3 billion that was allocated by USDA to help replenish food banks, those are, you know, requirements and needs that could be met, obviously, by some of these processing facilities that we have here in this region of the country. And I'm going to be on a call this afternoon with Sonny Perdue at USDA to talk about this very issue, because I do think, you know, the first priority has got to be the health and safety of the workers at the plant. But if there's a way in which you can open these plants up and use some of the social distancing practices and PPE and more testing and get these things rolling again, it's you know, if very many of them shut down, we start having major disruptions in our food supply in this country, and that's a really scary prospect as well. So I'm hoping that there are solutions that USDA can work with and CDC can work with these plants to protect people, but to get them opened up again so we can fulfill the requirements not only for the American people when it comes to their need for food, and also all the requirements that we have to help feed other people around the world.
Senator John Thune, our guest, he'll be here for a few more minutes. If you have a question or comment, welcome those at 800-228-0550. Let's talk a little bit about the beef industry. Extraordinarily difficult times right now, as you well know. The price is low and battles with the packers. Do you think that it would be best for, say, South Dakota producers, North Dakota producers, to get together and say, let's do our own meat processing? Obviously, we've got a problem. We think there's some collusion going on, but we don't know. Let's just control our own destiny and sort of fix the problem rather than constantly have to put out the fires. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think more competition is better. And, you know, one of the complaints that the producers have about meatpacking is there's a concentration of market power in the hands of four companies who control 80% of the beef kill in this country. Hogs not much different. So, that's always been the argument, is that they have a lot of market power and they can collude and if they want to on prices and that sort of thing. And so it seems to me, at least, that, yeah, a good solution to that would be, let's create more competition. And if we could process some of our own here, I mean, I think it takes somebody with some capital willing to make some investment, but Lord knows we have enough of a cattle herd, and I can tell you in South Dakota, I'm sure North Dakota is the same, that you could keep a processing facility, I would think, awfully busy. So that, to me, has always seemed like a really good solution. I know there have been discussions about it, but not a lot usually in terms of actual construction of plants. So we'll see what comes out of this, but I know there's a high level of frustration out there. I hear it every day from ranchers across South Dakota who are looking at these low prices, wondering how they're going to be able to continue to operate, and looking for solutions. And I think part of it is, you know, when in a free market economy where free enterprise is working, you should have competition. And when you have competition, it helps the producer certainly get a better deal for their animals.
Take a short break. Come back with more with Senator John Thune after the break here, brought to you in part by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Do you have that sauna yet? That's right. Just zap that virus with a sauna. Just zap it, for crying out loud. Do the research on. There's some interesting research out there on it. Saunas, too. Hot spring spas and pool tables, too. Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks. Call them today.
Did you procrastinate all year about that foundation repair project, and now you think it's too late? Hey, Lacey here with Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. No need to worry, we've got you covered. Whether you need waterproofing, drain tile, a crack repaired, or help stabilizing that settling foundation, don't wait.
Call 701-280-7038 and ask us about our winter discount, or go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
North Dakota is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials and supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, roads, and emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities and keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Paid for by North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions.
We've got Brian in studio from Collins and Kronk Raymond James.
Brian, I was visiting with my girlfriend the other day, and she's just a few years from retirement. She was wondering if she can still retire if there's a recession just around the corner.
This is why planning is so important. When Collins and Kronk does a financial plan for you, we look at several different scenarios. We consider the positives or the good times, as well as the bad. What if there is a recession? We do the math so we can answer your questions with confidence. We want to help you make smart decisions like when to retire or what investments to use.
Whether it's a recession or an economic boom, Collins & Kronk can help you make the right decisions. If you have $500,000 or more, call Collins & Kronk in Fargo today. 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
What's on Your Mind is powered by Schwann Buick GMC, committed to the health and well-being of their employees and their customers. They are open for business. They understand the importance of reliable transportation and continue to provide the products and services you need. Meanwhile, they take an extra precautions in both sales and service to help keep you safe. If you're not comfortable coming in, you can purchase or lease over the phone or online. They'll even come to you. Check out Shop, Click, Drive at SchwannBuickGMC.com. 0% APR for 84 months, plus 120-day deferred payments with approved credit. If your vehicle needs service, ask about their pickup and delivery options as well. Family-owned, community-driven, we care. We are here to help. We'll get through this together. Schwann, Buick, GMC.com.
back with Senator John Thune of South Dakota, member of the Republican leadership, and joining us to talk about not only the COVID response that's come from the federal government, also dealing with some of the ag issues. Any other questions you have? Or welcome, Todd Mandan for Senator Thune. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I was wondering if, you know how the ranchers are saying the meat comes in, gets processed, and it's called U.S. meat when it comes from different countries. Has the meat been tested at all these packing plants before it gets there so we know that it isn't the meat that's coming in that's bringing the COVID?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that part of food safety is ensuring that the meat that comes in this country is, you know, has been inspected appropriately, and I believe that's the case. But one thing we've always argued is that if we could get a policy in place that would label meat that comes into the country, and if the meat that's grown, raised, and slaughtered here in the United States reflected that on a label, that you could differentiate your product. And it's not to say that any of the other food coming from other places isn't safe, but I think that the American people would like to know whether what they're buying is an American product. And that's something that we've been fighting for since the time I've been in Congress. We got it in a couple of farm bills back in 2002 and 2008, 2014, and it always get knocked out, by disputes at the World Trade Organization and, punitive measures taken against the United States for our labeling law and, allowing duties and tariffs to be placed on some of our products. And so it's no longer in force. But that is an argument that's, we've made through the years, and we just have to figure out a way and how to get it done in a way that survives all these challenges, these legal challenges that inevitably come against it.
Texter says, if the food chain is so critical, why in God's name are we letting America's enemies own our packing plants? Because two of the four are foreign-owned, right? China and Brazil.
Correct. Yeah, good question, too. I mean, I think there are a lot of questions coming out of this, Scott, that are going to be heavily debated going forward. And, right now we're trying to put the fire out, but, when we get past this, these supply chain issues, I think are going to get revisited. And then, food, of course, being one, but drugs being another, pharmaceuticals, medical supplies, we're dependent upon so many other places around the world for things that are really critical and essential in a time of crisis. And it seems to me, at least, that we want to give some real serious consideration to creating capabilities here in the United States that we have outsourced to other places around the world that really are essential. And I think that, that conversation's already started among policymakers in Washington. I think it's going to continue. We'll see where it leads and what comes out of it. But I suspect you're going to see significant incentives to invest here in the United States and in some of these key industries start putting, the money into rebuilding here at home and becoming less dependent upon unreliable supply chains, particularly in time of crisis.
We have, obviously, a crisis beyond anybody's imagination that we're dealing with right here, and you have a presidential election coming up. Those two things should be interesting in the way of a political collision, in the way of Senate legislation and House legislation, what actually could get done. One idea that seems to combo up pretty good with disaster and the presidential election is infrastructure, since there seems to be bipartisan agreement that we ought to do it and a way to get the economy going again. The president's been talking about it for some time. Is the majority leader of the opinion early on? I know he was skeptical about that idea of infrastructure and what it means. Where are we at now?
Well, I think there's if we need something to really, jumpstart the economy coming out of this and make sure that this is a V recession, not a U recession, then the infrastructure is always something that's been talked about. And of course, that can include roads and bridges. It can include broadband, other types of infrastructure investments. And there's some serious discussion about that, Scott. I mean, I don't, at this point, the question is always how do you pay for it? And we're already heavily indebted, to the tune of about almost $3 trillion now with what we've done so far that we've added to our already massive $21 trillion debt. So I think we have to think long and hard about adding any more debt. But, if the circumstances require it, And we are looking for a way to really get the economy rolling again. Infrastructure is something that we are behind on anyway that we need to do, and there are lots of places around the country that could benefit enormously from that. So it's on the radar screen. I think that, you know, people in the Senate on both sides are talking about it. You know, whether or not it comes to fruition, it depends a lot, I think, on, you know, what the president decides to do, how much he decides to put behind it, and then whether or not, too, there are ways that we could at least partially offset or pay for some of it. You know, one of the things we've always talked about is we want to build infrastructure, but nobody wants to pay for it. And I think we do have to start thinking about coming out of this, just how much debt we're racking up and what that means for down the road for future generations. This is something we're going to have to grapple with.
That's for sure. By the way, find the money by charging China for everything they're responsible for in this mess. They're
here.
Yeah. Have them write a check. Hey, we really appreciate very much your time and your effort and your leadership, and look forward to chatting again.
Always good being with you, Scott. Thank you. And we work well with your senators back up in North Dakota. We got a team, and we're going to make sure we fight for our...
This is Vince from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. I want to take this time to thank Scott and the What's on Your Mind program for helping a small business like ours during this time of crisis. I would also like to ask all the What's on Your Mind listeners to help us out during this crisis. Our products have always delivered every day made better. Now more than ever is it needed in your daily life. If you know anyone who could benefit from the daily ritual of a hot tub or a sauna, or even one of our many game tables, please refer them directly to me at 701-238-9837. I will reach out and provide them with a virtual tour, help them decide on the right wellness product, offering 12 months, no interest, no payments, delivering within 2 to 7 days, and I will provide you with a free referral fee up to $300 depending on the product. You and I and Every Day Made Better will win this crisis. My number again, 701-238-9837. 701-238-9837. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.